This is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin. Coming up, Barbie has become eligible for her AARP card, if you can believe it. She turned 50 this year, so we set off to the annual Barbie convention to see what all the fuss is about and what's new in Barbie world. That's a little later. But first, we continue our international briefing. We're checking in on the war crimes trial of former Liberian President Charles Taylor. Taylor is the first African head of state to be tried on war crimes charges. He began his testimony before a UN-backed special court for Sierra Leone earlier this week. Taylor is being charged with 11 counts of murder, torture, rape, sexual slavery, and forcing children to take up arms, dating to his involvement in the civil war in Sierra Leone that lasted from about 1991 to 2002. Taylor's defense began this week, and his testimony marks the first time Taylor has been heard live on television in Liberia in years.
I, Charles Ganke Taylor, never, ever, at any time, knowingly assist Fode Sankoh in the invasion of Sierra Leone.
Here to talk about the trial and the reaction to it, our guests who've been closely monitoring the situation in Liberia, we have with us Elise Kepler. She's the senior counsel with the International Justice Program for Human Rights Watch. She's joining us from our New York bureau. We hope to get on the line from Monrovia, Liberia. The BBC's Jonathan Pelela will keep trying to reach him, and we'll let you know if we do. But first, Elise, let me start with you, and thank you for joining us. Tell us about the trial. Why is this so significant?
The trial of former Liberian President Charles Taylor is incredibly important for Sierra Leone, for Liberia, for West Africa. The kinds of crimes that he is charged with committing during Sierra Leone's civil war, as you rightly note, torture, rape, murder, abduction, were horrific. This trial provides a crucial opportunity for the victims to have the possibility of redress and to give a sense of respect for rule of law, especially by having a former president brought to trial for these crimes. It sends a signal that these kinds of abuses will not be tolerated.
I understand that we have the BBC's Jonathan Pelela on the line from Monrovia. Jonathan, what's the reaction to the trial? Is it well watched? Are people watching it? And what are some of the reactions?
The reaction has been mixed. A lot of people are saying that the whole thing is just a setup. Some people who is on the ground, who knows what is happening really, says that having a contrary opinion.
You think Taylor still has some support in the country? He's still there. Those who
support of the former president, that he's a free man. But to some other people who are here, who know what went on wrong, you know, they're saying, but just because of fear of what people will do, they're not willing to say it out.
Well, Jonathan, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to let you go now, and we appreciate your taking the time. That was the BBC's Jonathan Pelela on the line from Monrovia, Liberia. Elise, you heard Jonathan say that there are those who don't agree with prosecuting Taylor, and I think that some might find this hard to believe, but what is his defense?
His defense has been that he was not involved in arming and supporting the rebel groups. Those are the charges, not that he physically committed torture or rape, but that he was backing the rebel groups that then committed these crimes. One aspect that I think is very significant that Jonathan mentions is that people are following this trial. This is a process. He will put forward his case. The prosecution has put forward its case. This trial is an opportunity to establish whether or not Charles Taylor will be found beyond a reasonable doubt to be guilty or whether or not there will be an acquittal. And the population is watching very closely and will be learning very much about what happened in this conflict as a result.
What is the evidence, though, that it was Taylor who participated in, facilitated these crimes, which I believe is amply documented, the extent of it and how horrific the treatment of civilians was during this conflict. But what's the evidence that Taylor was involved?
The key aspect of the prosecution's evidence regarding Taylor's responsibility was from what they call their linkage witnesses. So three types of witnesses testified. You had experts about, for example, the diamond industry. You had victim witnesses who testified about the crimes, but not Taylor's specific role in the crimes. And then you have the linkage linkage witnesses. The linkage witnesses were largely those who had worked for Taylor or those who were associated with Taylor in some way, who testified about Taylor's role in providing, putting forward evidence of Taylor's role in providing support, financing, arms to the rebel groups. A major component of these witnesses was radio operators, and this is a society in where you're not likely to have a lot of written records. But radio operators testified who worked in Liberia's executive mansion about communications between Taylor and rebels in Sierra Leone.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're talking about the war crimes trial of former Liberian dictator Charles Taylor. My guest is Elise Kepler of Human Rights Watch. Elise, we've had the opportunity to speak on a number of occasions with the current president of Liberia, Ellen Johnson Sirleaf. And the whole subject of Charles Taylor is still a very sensitive one, in that she discourages questions about Taylor and how he is viewed in the country at the time. Now, this particular trial is for Taylor's role in Sierra Leone's civil war. But Liberia also experienced much civil unrest over the past decades. Is there any effort to bring him to account for his conduct within his own country?
Human Rights Watch believes very strongly that there needs to be prosecutions for past crimes in Liberia. As you stated, the Special Court for Sierra Leone in the trial of Charles Taylor right now is limited to crimes committed in Sierra Leone, but there were widespread abuses, human rights abuses, during Liberia's conflict. And from our perspective, it's going to be vital for the victims, for rule of law, to see prosecutions for past crimes. Now, just last week, a Truth and Reconciliation Commission issued a report on Liberia's conflict, in which they backed the idea of prosecutions for past crimes. The next challenge will be seeing that the mechanism to enable those prosecutions will be developed.
What's it like for you watching him testify?
It's significant. This is a former head of state, only the second in history to be tried before an international tribunal. And I think it really does send a very significant signal that no one can be above the rule of law. No one can be above the law. So watching him be part of this process, have been arrested, and facing trial is a chance to really show that there is a move towards understanding that these crimes won't be tolerated. At the same time, I think the process of seeing him testify with a very distinguished, vigorous defense team is critical. And that is a fair trial, and one that includes a really robust defense is going to be key to the credibility of this process. And this is their turn to put forward their case. And in the event that there is not evidence beyond a reasonable doubt, he must be acquitted.
Are there other countries that are pressing for this kind of process to go forward? Because as you heard from our BBC correspondent with whom we spoke briefly, that there is still a sense, there are those who don't agree with it. They feel that it's not an appropriate venue. They feel that these were not crimes, or that he did not engage with them. And in fact, that is in fact what he's saying. He's saying he had nothing to do with it, and he categorically denies involvement. Mm.
And that's what the trial is there to show, whether or not he is in fact responsible. There is increasingly a move to see justice for the most serious crimes, starting with the tribunals for the former Yugoslavia, where former President Milosevic was tried, the tribunal for the genocide in Rwanda and other crimes committed during the genocide in Rwanda by the government-backed or the current government militias. There is also the International Criminal Court, which is the first ever permanent court to try these kinds of crimes, genocide, war crimes, and crimes against humanity. This court came into effect in 2002 and presents a vital opportunity to ensure in the future that when national courts are not able or not willing to prosecute, that there will be a backstop and the possibility to see justice done for these most serious crimes.
Elise Kepler is the senior counsel with the International Justice Program for Human Rights Watch. She joined us from our bureau in New York. Thank you so much for joining us, Elise.
Thank you.